Now then, we're looking at Romans 6, and this chapter for the Christian, perhaps apart from our salvation, is probably the most important of teachings. And the realization of this is really the secret of growing in grace. So if we are having difficulty in walking with the Lord and growing in grace, this is a chapter that should help us. And if we can apply in our minds and then influence our whole being, then it can be a help. But first of all, just a little quick resume of where we are. This epistle is a great statement of the Christian faith. Paul has described at the beginning the hopeless situation and condition of the sinner, and he's totally unable to save himself. And so it must be from without, and it is from God and by his mercy. And although it is a hopeless situation, yet it is called the Epistle of Hope. And there is that time when the soul is awakened, and from then on we are involved in the activity. We are introduced then to the great teaching of justification by faith. That is, something has been done for us. And that our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, just briefly, if I may remind you of this, has done two things for the sinner. The one that we are used to and we are familiar with is his passive obedience when he died as a punishment for our sin and for our total sin. For the principle, the power of sin, and the details of sin. And the amazing thing is, our past sins, our present, and our future. And that can say that leaves a little gap there for people to do as they like. And then a few times he says in this epistle, God forbid, you cannot play about with God like that. But we are totally forgiven. And the penalty is paid in full. And the essential part of Calvary is that part where God turns his back in one sense. You cannot divide the Trinity, but he only leaves his wrath on his Son when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that means that the presence, sweet presence, the lovely presence of God turns away from his Son in order that he might pay the debt in full. That payment is equal to how things are in hell. It is a place where the sweet presence of God is not, but his wrath is there. So the presence of God in hell is there, but only in his wrath. So our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, bore that until the penalty is paid in full, and he says, it is finished. Nothing can be more wonderful. That is the forgiveness of our sins, but that is not the fulfillment of the law in a positive way. So we have then his active obedience, where in his life, although he didn't need to prove anything, he lived a perfect life and obeyed the law in our place. And so when we have been forgiven or washed, if you like, when our sin has been dealt with and nailed to the cross and we are forgiven, then we are robed in the righteousness of Christ, as put it poetically, or to put it realistically, the life of Christ is counted for us. As if we have lived it. And we call it imputed righteousness. Put, if you're not used to the word imputed, the word put in the middle. We put our sin on him, we impute our sin to him, and he imputes, puts his righteousness to us. That's clear enough. Now, we got that far. Now, justice is silenced, the law is silenced, and is satisfied. All this is appropriated by faith, which is a gift. Through repentance and faith, we come to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, this chapter is talking then, what has happened in as far as you're concerned now, in your daily life and in the practicalities of things. A radical change has taken place. Now, last week, and I'll only briefly go over that. This is it, verse 6. Knowing that, we know this. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now then, what are we looking at? We were in Adam. He was our federal head. And we share the guilt of Adam. We also have our pollution as well. We were in Adam. Now then, when we come to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and to the benefits of Calvary, all that we wear in Adam, that is our old humanity, my sinful heart, the spirit of the heart of the soul, remember? My old humanity is nailed to the cross. Dead. Absolutely dead. So when you hear people saying, as Christians say, ah, well, it's the old man in me, or it's the old Adam in me, they haven't understood. And they're living at great disadvantage when they think like that. The old man is dead. And because of that, the new creation, without loss of identity, the new man in Christ is dead to sin. Right? Dead to sin. Now, is this sinless perfection? Is it? No, not at all. Let me read this first of all. Our Lord came in and took hold of that man and made it a part of himself in order that he might do away with it and take it out of me. So that we are no longer in Adam, we are now in Christ. Now, have I any problems? Yes, my problems are these. Look at that verse 6 again. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him. Now then, we have the new man in us, we know in this chapter, in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now the body of sin is this body. This thing that we are living in is very much ourselves. Now the body in of itself is not sinful, but it is heavily influenced by sin. It's so used to being in Adam. So now then, this new man, which is the center of my soul, will influence my mind, my memory, my affections, my will, my conscience. We're under a new rule, we're in Christ, and then there will be that tedious and long and progressive process of sanctification, of destroying the body of sin, so that I change my ways. But sin is not the boss anymore. All right? Satan is not the boss anymore. But Christ. Now, that is what we looked at. And I had an illustration, which I'll look again. I got a few this morning. I know, in a way, it's difficult. But once we get this, and you've got to get it, because once you get it, it can transform your life. Now then, to sum that up, and not my illustration, it's Dr. Lloyd-Jones' illustration. He said, imagine yourself to be an island. I hope you don't mind me repeating myself the week next, but I'm doing this deliberately, you know, to finish with the introduction. Imagine yourself to be an island, that's you. And there, in the very center of the island, the headquarters. And so there's Mr. Mind, Mr. Memory, Mr. Affections, Mr. Will, Mr. Conscience. All these are officers in the army. And there's the general, the heart of your soul, evil. Right? Evil. And now then, here come the forces of grace. And so they come. And as they come onto the ground, they go straight for the headquarters, they take the old man's flag down, and they put the new flag up, and they put a new manager there, a new general there. Now, that in that case would be a new person, but in our case, it's just a transformation of ourselves. There is now the new general. He rules. So it's a staff meeting. And each of the members of staff is in charge of different areas of the island. And there are pockets of resistance. And so it is the work now of this general with his staff to see that these pockets of resistance are eventually more and more subdued. In this life, they will never be totally subdued. But more and more, it will come under the reign of the new regime. Now that's the picture. Now no illustration will put it fully. But it is an illustration, it's a helpful one. Now then, this morning then, three things, the realm of death, the realm of life, and the reign of grace. And just a little while on each one. The realm of death, this is where we were in Adam, in the realm of death. Now then, he's putting it again now, so that the apostle wants to make sure that we've understood. In verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So this is my conclusion then, from the verses gone before. If the old man was crucified and dead, then in his resurrection and his newness of life, we believe we shall also live with him. Then verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. That is, for a while, Jesus Christ lived in the realm of death. He lived on earth in the same realm that we lived in. Now then, what happens then? We're able to say, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. So, if my old humanity has been crucified with him, that's dead. But Jesus is alive, so am I. In newness of life, in the new man. Now that's the transformation, and that's the radical change. And he says it over and over again, really, in order that we might understand. That being so, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So he's saying, you're looking at yourself now and you're saying, now what shall I reckon, what shall I conclude? I conclude that I'm not in Adam. And if I'm not in Adam, my old humanity is crucified and is dead with all its desires. I am in Christ. Therefore, I can venture out now into newness of life. It's a great, wonderful adventure. Dead unto sin. We are no longer under the authority of sin and death. I'm not saying we do not sin. We are still in this mortal body. We're still in this body of sin. We're so used, you know. So if it could talk back to us, we could say, now look, now in charge is a new man and influencing the faculties of the soul. And now, but the body said, this is how I've always behaved. This is what my body has always enjoyed. This is what my body always likes. I've always been attracted to these things. This is the way I've always done things. And so the new man in Christ said, yes, that is how you were. You've been so used to living the way in Adam. And that evil way is going to take you a while to recognize you've got a new boss. And I'm answerable to a greater one. The new man in Christ is here. So you're no longer under the authority and the rule of sin and death and Satan, but under the authority of righteousness and life and Christ. And we say to our body, get it? Do you understand it? You're no longer in Adam. You are in Christ. Now, it takes a long time. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey in the lust thereof. It is a foolish thing to go on as we were when we need not. Or we can. If you allow the body to have its way, the mortal body loves to gratify its primitive instincts, then it will go on that way. Now then, let me show you again, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto death. Don't do it. There's no need to. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law. Christ fulfilled the law for us, but under grace. Now, does this mean we can live as we like? Well, no, God forbid. Now, then, whom you serve is a giveaway. Knowing, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now this is a frightening one. If then you're still serving sin, and there seems to be no change or desire for it, you have to work out in your mind, have you got a new boss? Or are you still in Adam? Search your heart, because whom you serve is a giveaway. To whom your master is. But then again you might say, well, I did come to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I'm still battling with sin. But have you realized the resources that you have? Have you realized that you're not under the reign of Adam, sin, death, and Satan anymore? Now it's a realization. Now I'll give an illustration that's in a pamphlet by Reverend Alan Flavell. But I remember this event, and I'm sure most of you will do as well. In one of the islands of the Far East, they were overtaken by another power. The names of countries don't matter now. Overtaken by, as I say, an enemy power. And there was an example of one man who was absolutely petrified of this tyrannical power. And so he fled to the jungle. And there he lived on berries and best he could, in order not to be in contact with these people. And now then, what he did not know, that new forces came and conquered these enemies. and freed the land. But he still lived in the jungle. He lived there for 20 years. And one day somebody came across him. And he was frightened and he was terrified. And they said, the war's been over for 20 years. We are no longer under that terrible tyrant. We're not. We are now in the forces of freedom. You're free. And he said, do you mean to say that for 20 years I've been in bondage and all the while I was free? Now that happened. Spiritually, it's happening all the time. That people live in the jungle of sin, still thinking that Satan is their boss, although they're Christian. Still thinking that he's their boss and not realizing there is no need for them to be in that bondage of a besetting sin or whatever anymore. We are free from that. The new man is dead to sin and the new general is in charge and in ourselves as well. That's that. The realm of life. What has happened as we died with him? We also rose with him to newness of life in Christ. Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what have we here? Here is what has happened to me then, at when I came to Jesus. The old humanity, that evil heart of mine, was crucified with him. Did he leave me without a heart? No. I had a new one, the new man. The new man is there, and this new man is dead to sin. Absolutely dead to sin. The principle of holiness is planted there. But as Paul is saying, but nevertheless, you still have this old body. Not that the body of itself is sinful, but it's influenced heavily by sin. You have this mortal flesh. You have this mortal body of sin. Now then, he said, you're able now to overcome where you couldn't before. Not only have you a new man within you, but this new man can draw on the resources, vast resources of grace. And he knows how to call upon them and to apply them to every area of his life. So in verse 13, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So he said, come to this kind of conclusion. Now then, that you have this new man within you, and with influence that he has in heaven, and the influence of heaven upon him, so that this now will permeate into every part of your life and your body and your desires, and bringing all of you into submission of this new reign of righteousness. So that you become the servants of righteousness. This minister I mentioned gave another illustration, which is a helpful one. I think illustrations here help a great deal. Now then, he saw a garden somewhere, I forget what he said. He saw a very beautiful garden. But he couldn't understand why there was a garden there. Because it was a well-known and a very horrible gravel pit. And he could not understand why now it was the most beautiful, beautiful garden with masses of colourful flowers. So he went to the gardener, the person in charge, said, whatever has happened, he said, that there is a garden here where there was nothing but, a gravel pit with all the horrible weeds and so on. Well, he said, yes, he said, well, I tell you what happened. We dug deep, we got rid of the gravel, we filled it with soil. There was a change there in the foundation of it all. So these flowers are not growing out of gravel. The gravel pit has been removed. The pit is there, but we have filled it, as if it were with the grace of God. And what we do now, all that we have to do now, is to plant flowers and get rid of weeds. But it's a garden. That's us. We're no longer a gravel pit. That's crucified with Christ. We're good soil, the new man. So we plant flowers. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We plant these things in our lives. But always weeds will come. But you see, there's a great difference between weeding a garden and trying to control a gravel pit. But a garden, you can. If you're careless and you don't realize that there's been that radical change from a gravel pit to good soil, then you can allow weeds to take over. Like that man living in the jungle, not knowing that he was free. But with gardens, gardens of grace, God's acres. And so we plant the lovely things of the grace of God, because the foundation of our soul is right. We are in Christ and not in Adam. Do you see the picture? It's really a very wonderful one. Then lastly, the reign of grace, newness of life in Christ, the new man. Verse 17, how did this happen? But God be thanked that he were the servants of sin. That's where you were in Adam, summing up here. But he have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So he's going back now. How did this happen? How am I now in Christ where I was in Adam? Well, I will tell you, because something happened deep within you and you obeyed from the heart this doctrine. This wonderful doctrine, this wonderful teaching about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you have obeyed from the heart. Well, what happens then? Well, these things came to your notice. When you obeyed from the heart and you became spiritually alive, you realized where you were and the terrible character of sin. You also realized your terrible position and what your destination would be. You also began to have a hatred for sin. You also began to understand something of the character of God and the holiness of God. You also began to understand what Christ has done so that he brings us from being in Adam to being in Christ. Now let me put it in a practical way. You see, that verse 17 is really summing up. Now how can all this be? But God be thanked. A little service of thanksgiving in my soul. But God be thanked. I'm not in Adam anymore. I'm in Christ. I'm not hurtling to hell anymore. I'm marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. I am not the old man. I'm new. The old man with his deeds is crucified. But I am new in Christ. And so what do? I have to bring all the rest of me now progressively into subjection. But God be thanked that he were the servants of sin. Now, sin does not reign anymore. Even when we sin, he does not reign. But he have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And so also we can say, because we are in Christ, we understand that we are in Christ. Let me put it in a practical example like this. And supposing now you or myself were tempted with an old besetting sin. And your body always liked it, whatever it is, anything. And you're tempted. And you're urged towards it because your body likes it. Your body used to enjoy it when you were in Adam. Then you say to yourself, I'm not in Adam. I'm in Christ. Ah, but this sin, you've never been able to overcome it. But I am a new man. The old man is crucified. The center of my being has been transformed. But you like the sin. But sin is no longer my master. Satan is no longer my master. But you love this sin. And then you begin to realize more and more, I am in Christ. I am new. Then you say to yourself, don't do it. And you're able to overcome. That's what it means. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we succeed. Growing in grace is practicing this well. Until we become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see the picture? Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. The old humanity, the old man, crucified. Oh, I can't cope with him. A new man in the depths of my soul. Dead to sin. Alive to God. Good start. Good start for a holy life.
Who'll help me? He will. Anything I want, he'll give, and he'll give, and he'll give. And so whatever part or area of my body that I have difficulties with, whatever they may be, I can stop and think. You know the verse that says, work out your own salvation. Work out its implication with fear and trembling. But it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What Paul is saying is, get on with it. God be thanked. You're no longer the servants of sin. He's no longer your boss. Even when you fail, you're able to say, he's not my boss anymore. I am able to overcome by the grace of God. Listen to this hymn. It sums it up really very well. It's anonymous. You have no idea who wrote it. Jesus, our Lord and King, to thee our praises rise. To thee our bodies we present, a living sacrifice. Notice, to thee our bodies we present, a living sacrifice. Now, justified by grace and made alive to God, form for thyself to show thy praise, we sound thy love abroad. Now then, as dead indeed to sin, from its dominion free, henceforth, as not our own but thine, we follow only thee. Baptized into thy death, with thee again we rise to newness of a life of faith, to new and endless joys. God be thanked. Now let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in our Saviour's name and worship thee and pray, O Lord, that these truths may become clear to us. They're not always easy for us to understand, yet the Holy Spirit is able to enlighten us either immediately or a little later maybe. Then suddenly we realize we're new. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Help us, O Lord, to grow in grace for thy name's sake. Amen.